Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written in Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice, and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I offer you full transparency on my journey as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. Welcome to episode number 18, you guys. So as an indie author, I know, and we all know, that we wear a lot of hats. We have to be the author, the social media manager, the PR team, the financial advisor, all of it. And in the scheme of keeping our head above water and marketing our books and putting ourselves out there, we sometimes forget that we have to do the most important aspect of all of this, actually write. So this episode is your reminder to actually get the words out, and I'm going to be sharing a few ideas for making time to write that have worked for me. And the first tip that I have for you guys is to join or host a writing sprint. And if you don't know what writing sprints are, they're basically when you and other authors and writers come together to be productive. And sometimes they're just called productivity sprints. They're not always called writing sprints. But you come together and you set a time and you write or do whatever it is that you need to do. And when that time is up, you come together and you just check in with each other. I find them super helpful. We do them in the Discord server that I run, but I also host them on YouTube. Well, I used to host them on YouTube with my friend Amanda Ross. I would probably start going back to doing that sometime in probably June after my book comes out and I start working really seriously again on book two. But there are always a lot of sprints going on YouTube, on Twitch. I've actually started noticing some of them on TikTok, and you can find them at any time of the day, honestly. Just search for writing sprints, productivity sprints, etc. And I personally find these to be really helpful because for me, my biggest struggle with writing is accountability. And that's just knowing that someone out there knows that I'm supposed to be writing outside of myself, so I can't make excuses for it. That's my biggest problem, but I know that everyone doesn't have that problem. But if you're like me, I definitely suggest doing that. And if you can't find a writing sprint that you like, you can host it. You don't need a minimum requirement to go live on YouTube. I think they removed that. And you definitely don't need one for Twitch. You can literally just set up an account and start streaming. And I promise you, if you set it up, people will come. They absolutely will. So I recommend doing that. And the reason I recommend it is just having a community, even if it's not a tight-knit community, is really helpful. Just someone to say, hey, how did you do? Hey, how many words did you get? Someone to be like, oh, awesome. You got that many words? That's amazing. Even if it's just like three words, a lot of times they'll be like, hey, that's three more words than you had before you started. So still progress. And having that type of, you know, keep going energy around you and knowing that you are putting yourself in a space where other people are being productive is usually a really good way to like focus your energy. At least that's what I found for myself. But if you are not big on putting yourself into these internet spaces and things like that, then my second suggestion would be to find a writing slash accountability partner. And this kind of goes hand in hand with the first tip of accountability, but basically you just need someone who is going to check on you and be like, hey, did you write? Or hey, did you meet your goals this week? It doesn't have to be like a daily thing. It could be a weekly thing, a monthly thing, or whatever it is that you need it to be. And it's basically just someone to be like, hey, did you write? And again, that for me is really, really helpful. So this person, they can be your critique partner if you have one, but if you don't, it can literally be anyone in your life or anyone on the internet, and y'all could just like check on each other. For me, Amanda and I did this when we were writing our books collectively. So when I was writing We Are the Origin and she was writing her book In the House of Transcendence, we just checked on each other like, hey, did you reach your writing goals? And we did writing sprints together and we just kind of held each other accountable. And it was really helpful because, as you can see, we both have finished copies of our book. So I highly, highly recommend that you find someone. I also have other people that I check in with. It's not just Amanda. I also check in with my friend Neeks occasionally, and I'm like, hey, how are you doing? How's the book going? You know, and it's just really helpful to know that someone out there is rooting for you and wants you to be successful and wants you to do the thing that you're good at and creative at. And they're just going to be like, hey, I support you. I'm here. Just checking on you. You know, nothing pressure, like you better write the book, but just very, very soft, very kind, I would say. But that being said, tip number three is to schedule your writing time. So if accountability is not your thing and it's literally just, I need more time, then I would say to schedule it. Schedule it like you would anything else on your calendar. So like if you would have a meeting and you put it on your calendar, put your writing time on your calendar. Or if you're a sticky note person and you're like, hey, and you like meeting with, I don't know, boss at three. I don't know what you guys do as a job. So that was probably a really bad analogy, but you get what I'm trying to say. Whatever it is, however you manage your life and however you remember to make time for things, do that for writing. So for me, I have a planner and I keep it on my desk next to my keyboard. And it's just like, these are the things that I have to do today. And one of the things that has helped me a lot is just being like, okay, today I'm going to write. At 1 o'clock, I'm going to write until the end of the day. And finding what time works best for you and just making time for it is really helpful, especially if you're like me and you fall into that trap of, oh, I have to make Instagram posts. I don't do Instagram anymore for this reason, but you know, before when I was being overwhelmed with absolutely everything that I had to do, it was like, oh, I need to make an Instagram post. Oh, I need to prep the podcast. Oh, I need to prep the melanin chat. Oh, I need to make sure the Discord is still live. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, I need to do that. You know, and there are just so many, oh, moments throughout the day. It's like 6 o'clock and I haven't written anything. And then I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow. Because when you work for yourself and when you're an author, whether you have a job, an outside job, or you freelance, or you work for yourself, or whatever your life situation is, when you decide to write a book, you decide to work for yourself and you have to set your own schedule. And that is a really hard task because for a lot of us, at least in America, who went through the public school system, we are so used to being regulated every second of the day and someone else telling us what to do with our time that when we have the ability to regulate ourselves, a lot of us have not honed and practiced that skill. And so it gets really difficult. I speak from experience. So put it on your calendar, schedule it, and don't skip it. Consider it like a meeting with your characters. Like, hey, I have to sit down and talk to them and figure out what's going on. And it's helpful, even if it's just like a 10-minute meeting, a 20-minute meeting. You know, sometimes it goes longer than that, you know, a couple of hours, but whatever works for you. And that actually brings us to tip number four, which is to spread it out. So tip number three was to schedule it, and that works ideally if you have a block of time or a chunk of time that you can carve out in your schedule. But if you are not that person and you're like, look, girl, I'm busy. I ain't got time. Okay, I get it. I understand. So tip number four is just to spread it out. You know, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. You know, maybe you have 5 minutes before you take your lunch where you can just sit down and get a couple words in. You know, maybe 15 minutes after dinner before you have to put your kids to bed or before you have to do anything else for the night. You could take 15 minutes to sit down and get a couple of sentences in. You know, maybe 20, 30 minutes before you go to bed. You know, whatever it is, so even if it's just like, okay, I'm gonna write 2 sentences before I run into the store to go buy groceries. You know, whatever it is, spread it out. It doesn't have to be a huge chunk of time, because what will happen is that 10 minutes here, a paragraph here, a couple of sentences here, they will start to add up and you will start to write your story in between the things that you have to do. And is it glamorous? No. Is it the picturesque ideal that you see on the internet of authors sitting down and getting into their writing space with the calendars and the planners and the notebooks and the research with expensive writing programs? No, but it gets it done. And at the end of the day, that's what's important. The important part is writing the story, you know? And if you don't do that part, then everything else doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've built your author platform, if you have no book to offer as an author, you know? Not dismissing an author platform, because that's also super important. But at the end of the day, you have to have a product. That's like if you go to Walmart and you have all this branding and there's nothing in the store to buy. Doesn't matter if the branding is great. Doesn't matter if it's recognizable. Doesn't matter if people are excited about what it could be. If it doesn't exist, people are going to go to Target. That's just kind of how it works. You know, people will move on. But that being said, I'm not going to get on my soapbox. I'm not going to ramble. The tip is spread it out, get it in where you can. And I say this not from personal experience, but I have talked to people in the Discord server where it's like they're writing on their lunch break, you know, they're writing on their commute, you know, assuming they're not driving. They're like on public transportation. But that being said, you get the words in where you can when you really have a story to tell. So if that's you, get it in where you can. No one's going to judge you differently because you didn't sit down at a desk and write the book. Because honestly, who's going to know? Who's going to know? Just throwing it out there. And that brings me to my last tip, which is to make your goals public. And this kind of goes along with everything that I've said before with the accountability and making time for it. Because for me, when I'm trying to focus on building my author platform, it's two birds with one stone type of thing. So when I make my goal public, I usually tweet about it on Twitter, and that helps me twofold because I'm being active on social media, I'm talking about something author related on my social media, and I am interacting with other people by posting my goals. Because normally what will happen is when you post your writing goals online, other authors will see it and engage with you and either cheer you on or what have you, even if it's just liking and retweeting. That's engagement. So I am promoting myself and my book because I'm like, hey, I'm writing my book. So for me, my suggestion, if you're going to take this piece of advice, have a title or at least a working title for your book to refer to. Have one sentence pitch, and I literally mean one sentence. I'm not talking about you finagling authors who can write long-winded sentences. I'm literally talking about 15 words or less. 15 words or less to be like, hey, I'm working on We Are the Origin. If you don't know, it's a story about assassins who have to save the gods in their realm from destruction. I have to write 2,000 words today. I am currently at 150. Wish me luck. That's a whole tweet right there. Right there. And every time, and then just make a thread and do your writing sprints, because all of that, basically this last tip is all the other tips rolled into one. So you're promoting yourself, you're promoting your book, you are making yourself relatable, you are growing your author platform, you are keeping your social media accounts active, and you are holding yourself accountable, and you're making progress on your book. Honestly, this is my favorite tip because, like I said, you do everything at once. You're hitting so many points at one time, and it's the easiest thing to do. It's super easy to take a screenshot of your writing goals, especially if you use a writing software like Dabble. That's what I use. If you like to sign up for Dabble, there is an affiliate link in the description box below, and it doesn't charge you anymore. It just has Dabble send me a couple of coins for repairing you. But whether it be Dabble, whether it be Scrivener, whether it be some other writing platform that you like where they show you how many words you need to meet your workout goal for the day, just take a screenshot of it and be like, this is what I'm at. And it's just like every hour, because when I tweet about it, I usually space it out versus when I do actual writing sprints, which are usually somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes. Just every hour or however long you're writing, post an update. Be like, okay, you know, I needed 2,000 words today. After 30 minutes, I'm at 560 words. Okay. After the next 30 minutes, I am at, you know, 1,020 words, halfway there, you know, and just do that. It holds yourself accountable and it lets people see a part of your journey. So you are creating content by doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing. And I just find that really helpful and useful. So that's probably my favorite tip. If you are looking for a way to make time to write and you're feeling overwhelmed with needing to market yourself, needing to grow your platform, there are ways to do it where you can do all those things at one time. So that's my two cents. Spend it how you like. That being said, those are all of my tips for how to make time for writing. It's still something that I'm working through, because with everything that I do, I definitely fall into that trap of, okay, I need to write, but I also have so much to do. I thought that I would have more time once my book was written and it's like, it's up for pre-order and it's available. But there's also so much other things that I did not really account for. Like, okay, Chelsea, you should probably actually be marketing your book more consistently now because it's done. Okay, Chelsea, you need to like start getting ARC reviewers, and you need to format your book, and you need to put it on these other platforms. And you need to, like, these extra goodies that you're sending out, you need to actually get that done. And there's a lot of other stuff that goes into it that I did not really factor for. So, point is, I am very much in the middle of this. As I said, all of this comes from my lived experience and not anything that I've seen or, like, heard. Like, somebody told me that this is how it's done. Like, no, I have learned from trial and error that you should probably make time for writing. My favorite tip is, like I said, the last one, to make your goals public and to also join or host writing sprints. Those are the ones that help me the absolute most, but I have also done all the other ones. I have found accountability partners. I have scheduled it on my planner and I have spread it out over multiple days. Like, okay, if I don't do anything today, I'm going to get 100 words in. I don't care when I get those 100 words, but they will get in today. And sometimes it's like 10 words here, a sentence there, you know, and it takes me literally like 15 hours to get 100 words because I'm just doing a little bit here and there. But that is my process, that is my journey. And sometimes in the scheme of things, that is what has to happen. And that's okay. That's okay, as long as you're making progress. I feel like that is the important part. But on to Chelsea's corner of this podcast episode. And I don't have a whole lot of updates for you guys because, like I said, my book is up for pre-order and I have gotten all my feedback from my beta readers. My edits, my official edits, come back today and I am really excited about them. I am a little nervous, but, you know, I'm like, I can get these back. I can, you know, make the changes that I'm going to make. And then I can finally upload the paperback version to Ingram Spark. And once that's done, you'll be able to pre-order the physical copy from major retailers. And I'm really excited about that because people have been asking me. Of course, you can order pre-order a physical copy from my website right now. But in order for me to upload it to Ingram Spark, I have to have the final copy of the book. And I didn't want to upload that ahead of time because sometimes stores will order it beforehand, and I did not want to run the risk of them getting the, oh, I just threw this up to upload it type form, because sometimes they order it and they get the book and they don't reorder it when the book is actually updated and released. So I wanted the final copies of the file before I uploaded it. That being said, I am looking forward to what's coming next. Like I said, the book comes out in just over a month, so that's kind of terrifying but also super exciting. I have been like making these little goals for myself, and I'll share that on the podcast because this is where I'm transparent. So I would love to get 50 pre-orders of the book. I'm actually almost there. I only have, it's within reach, I will say that. It is definitely within reach, which is kind of amazing because I did not expect anyone to pre-order the book because my fantasy writing is not out in the world and I am not a big name author. So the fact that I have double digit pre-orders is just kind of amazingly wild to me. And I'm really grateful and excited. So I want to get 50 pre-orders, and I'm just kind of like, if I can make $1,000 off of this book, I will feel like, okay, this was worth it. And I realize that for some people that's a small number, for some people it might be a big number, I don't know. That is just my personal goalpost for right now, because this is my first book, this is my first fantasy. I honestly have nothing to temper this goal against. There is no precedent to be like, oh, that's unreasonable, or oh, that's way too low. I have no idea. So I have been making goals for myself, and I'm really excited about it, and I hope I meet those goals. So wish me luck. That being said, I cannot be stuck on book one forever, and I'm trying to keep myself grounded in reality because I'm like as excited as I am for book one. Book one is going to sell book two, and book two is not written yet. So I am working on book two. I have, like I said in previous episodes, the first couple of sentences, the opening paragraphs have been written for book two. But as you guys know, the part of the writing process is like you write something, you think it's amazing, like chef's kiss, this is going to be it. And then you come back to it and you're like, I don't know, homie. Let me think about that. So the opening paragraphs are written. I don't know if they will remain the opening paragraphs. They will definitely stay in the book somewhere. I just don't know if they will remain in the beginning. Because as I mentioned to you guys, We Are the Origin is non-linear. So the beginning is not always the beginning. The middle is not always the middle. So that being said, I still have been working on it. Not necessarily writing, but kind of working on character descriptions for characters who are going to return, who were just kind of mentioned, and like fleshing them out in book two, and also the new characters that are going to be mentioned, and making sure that a lot of the things that I want to explore in this world are actually well thought out, and I don't write myself into a hole. Because book one, once it's out in the world, I'm not going to be able to change whatever I put. So I want to make sure that before it comes out, when I'm making these last final edits, that I am working on the content of book two so that I can change anything in book one that needs to be changed before it's released widely. That being said, because I am spending a lot of time actually in this world and trying to figure out what it is that I want to do, I am actually currently trying to decide if I'm going to keep the series at just two books, a duology, like I originally planned, or if I'm going to expand it to three or four books. The reason being is because I was talking to my husband and he said, well, this book kind of feels like part one, like there very much feels like there needs to be a part two. And I was just like, that's really succinctly worded. And it just kind of hit me because I'm like, well, yeah. And it just occurred to me that I'm like, part of the reason that book one stops where it stops is because I was not confident that I could write a 600 page behemoth for my first fantasy novel and sell it. So I was like, let me stop here. So book two is in a sense going to be a continuation of book one. I mean, like that's how series work, of course. But I was like, I don't know if I want to do this thing where it's just like, yes, it's a duology, but both books of the duology are broken into two parts. So you have like a book one part one and a book one part two, and then a book two part one and then a book two part two. I didn't know if I wanted to do that or if I was just going to leave it at, oh, ha ha ha, you're so funny, you know, husband, that's what it's supposed to be. And then just like be like, there is a book one and there's a book two, and that's the whole thing. So I'm kind of going back and forth with that. And the issue is there is a lot that lives in my brain, and I love world building, and I know so much about this world because I have been spending years like building and cultivating it and wondering like, oh, what if this happened? And oh, what if that happened? And so there's so much in my head, and I'm like, there's so much that I could explore with this world. And I'm not sure if it's just because I haven't written it yet and I don't only have enough content for one more book, or if there's really enough content for me to kind of actually really explore this. And I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to write myself into a hole. I don't want to rush the series and be like, well, I said it was going to be two books and therefore it is two books. Boom, done. Wash my hands of it. But I also don't want to do the opposite of that and be like, oh yeah, I have plenty of content and I'm going to write multiple books. And then I go to write it and I realize that I don't have multiple books worth of content. So we will see where that goes, how that ends up. I am excited. I will keep you guys updated as I always do. And yeah, that is it for this episode of the Written in Melanin podcast, you guys. Thank you for listening as I share my journey as an indie author. If you would be so kind, please share this episode on Twitter and tag me at C. Lockhartwright. And if you'd like to support this podcast and my journey as an indie author, then please buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/CM Lockhart, or grab a copy of my book, We Are the Origin, from my website, cmlockhart.com. There are links in the description box for everything. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, I hope all your books are full of melanin.